In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
You know, we are celebrating the 50 days of Easter. Easter Sunday was the beginning, and we have 50 days until Pentecost to celebrate this great solemnity in the church, the essence of why we're here. Jesus died to save us from sin and rose from the dead to give us new life. This is the central core of our faith. Believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has saved us from sin and given us the chance to live forever with Him in heaven. And so, the truth is, it's not just these 50 days. Every Sunday of the year, we celebrate in the church Easter. We celebrate the victory of our Lord and Savior over sin and death, who sits at the right hand of the Father in the banquet feast of the Lamb, and we share in that banquet feast at the altar in every Mass. So every Sunday is Easter. And if we really, even the Sundays during Lent, I don't know if you've noticed, but in Lent, from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, there's not 40 days, there's 49. Three of them are the Triduum, that don't count as Lent, it's a sacred moment of itself. And then six of them are the Sundays. And Sunday during Lent is celebrated as Easter, even during Lent. And if we really want to get serious about it, every day of the year we should say Happy Easter as Christians. We should live, as St. Augustine said, like Easter people. We should be aware of the fact that Christ has died to save me, to redeem me. I need to repent of my sins, come back to Him, and live a life of grace in His truth, striving to do what is right and good before God and neighbor. And rejoice every day in the celebration of Easter, because we're called to share His divine life on earth so that we can share it with Him forever in heaven. That's what we're celebrating. That's what Easter is. That's what it means to be Christian, to be Catholic, to be a member of the body of Christ who has risen from the dead. We are called to live this message. And yet, why does our faith so often get shaken? Let's look at this gospel reading today. I mean, let's paint the picture here first. It starts out saying the two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way. It's referring to the reading we just heard not too long ago about the two disciples that were on their road to Emmaus, and they were wondering what happened to Jesus. And Jesus appears to them. Are you the only one who doesn't know what happened? Oh, how slow you are to understand. And He opens their minds and their hearts to understand the scriptures as they walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Emmaus. And then He lets them recognize who He is in the breaking of the bread, the reference to the Eucharist that He's going to leave so that we can find His divine presence always among us in the Eucharist and every Mass. And their eyes are open. Weren't our hearts burning inside of us as He talked to us? You know? Wow, as He opened the scriptures and explained everything. And now we've seen Him. And so what do? They walked all day to get there. They turn around, forget their meal, run back to Jerusalem. Probably got there sometime early morning, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And they find Peter and the apostles in the room, and they're going to give this, hey, we just had this great experience. And before they can say anything, they say, hey, it's true, it's true. The Lord appeared to Peter. What Mary Magdalene said, it wasn't baloney, it's the truth. He appeared to Peter. And they're all, it says, the two disciples recounted what had taken place to them on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were still speaking about this, so imagine the situation. Everyone, the Lord's risen. This is great. Everything that was said, it's the truth. The meaning of my life. This is awesome. While they were still speaking about this, He stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And you'd think they would all say, here He is again. No. But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Startled and terrified. And Jesus says, why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at me. It's me. Look at my hands and my feet. Touch me. Give me something to eat. Let me show you. It's really me. I rose from the dead. No? While they were still incredulous for joy, they were so overjoyed to see him, they didn't believe it. Incredulous for joy and amazed. Who can rise from the dead? This is unheard of. This can't happen. Impossible. This is the situation they were in. They saw him, they met him, they touched him, they looked at him. And nevertheless, they were incredulous for joy, amazed, couldn't grasp it. They were startled and terrified. Christ has to prove it to them again and again, to confirm them in the faith. This is the truth. I am the Son of God who came to take your sins upon myself and die for you on a cross so that you could have new life in me. And I conquered death by rising from the dead to show you that I want you not to die and turn to dust, but to live forever with me in heaven. That's my will for you. That's what I want for you. This is my gift to you. Why at times in this world today do we allow our faith to be shaken and startled and terrified and of it sometimes incredulous? No. Why do we let the world walk all over us at times, laugh at us and ridicule us, and we cower to its attacks rather than stand up for the truth and share that truth with our family and our friends and our neighbors? Jesus loves you, and he died to save you, and he wants to give you his grace. Why did he do this? These are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He did that on the way to Emmaus with the other two, and now he does it again with all of them. He opens their mind to understand the scriptures. Right from Genesis, Genesis 3:15, when God promised there would be a savior, a virgin would give birth to a son who would stamp out the head of the serpent, crush it. And then through Noah, the cleansing of the waters, which are the representation of baptism, into the covenant with Abraham through circumcision, recognizing the place of God in our lives, taken out of his own place to go to the promised land. And his son Isaac going to be sacrificed as a representation of the Son of God who would offer his life in reparation for our sins to save us and give us new life. Down to the covenant with Moses or the tunic of Joseph, even before that, the humanity of Christ which is stripped from him only to come back to save all. No. Oh, he explained to them the scriptures, the covenant of Moses and the law, the prophets, the suffering servant Psalms of Isaiah that speak to us of how the Son of God will be sacrificed and take his sins on him, our sins on himself, to save us. Right down through all the prophecies. Even at Christmas, remember when we had the reading about the kings that are looking for where he is, and they go to Jerusalem and they ask, where's the Messiah going to be born? And everybody knew. Oh, you, Bethlehem, are not the least of the towns of Israel, and it's in you that the Messiah will come. I mean, the scriptures were speaking the whole time about the coming of this God, the Father, the Son, who would save the world. And Jesus opens their minds to understand the scriptures. May he open ours. You know, at the beginning of every gospel, we bless ourselves on the forehead and on the lips and on our hearts. You know, may the Lord open my mind to understand your word, my lips to proclaim it, and my heart to love it and live it. Now, I hope we understand that that's what we're doing. Help me, Lord, to understand this mystery of your love for us, that Easter is about you giving me the opportunity to come away from my sin and back to life. If you don't believe me, Jesus says it right here. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. In order to save it, he died on the cross, taking our sins, freeing us of those sins, and giving us new life. But now he wants this message to be preached so that we will repent of our sins, be forgiven by him, and share in his divine life. And that needs to be preached to all nations, to all peoples. The reading from St. John at the end, it said, the way we can be sure that we know him, Jesus, the resurrected Lord, is to keep his commandments. Those who say, I know him, but do not keep his commandments, are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. In other words, it's not enough to believe in Jesus and then just do whatever I want. If I truly believe in Jesus, I have to keep his commandments, repent of my sins, come back to him. And we're all sinners. I'm sure all of us at some time, in some way or other, if we're humble enough to recognize it, have broken a commandment or two, have not been all we should be before God and each other. We have sinned. We are sinners. He's not saying that we're all going to go to hell because we've sinned. No. We have to strive to come away from sin, repent, and believe truly by doing what is pleasing to the Lord, loving God and loving each other. The first reading ended that way. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, and he did so for us. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away. This is the message of Jesus. I'm giving you the gift. I want you to turn away from your sin and come back to me. Live a life of grace. Strive your best. If you fall, if you got the sacrament of confession, to get back up and keep going forward. Don't stop trying. But you have to keep working to repent, come away from sin, and back to grace. And yet, how often, like the apostles, that they knew, he was right in front of them. And they were startled and terrified. No, their hearts were troubled. They had questions arose in their minds. They couldn't believe it. No. Jesus had to confirm them in the faith. Here I am. Well, I think the only one he didn't have to confirm in the faith was his blessed mother. I imagine Easter Sunday morning, Mary, doing her hair, getting dressed up, getting ready. Now he's probably said to a few of the apostles, hey, Jesus is coming today. What are you hiding in the upper room for? Didn't you hear him say he was going to rise from the dead? Mary believed wholeheartedly in Jesus. All the other apparitions that come of Jesus to the apostles in the scriptures, to Mary Magdalene and to each, Mary Magdalene's crying out the side of the tomb, where is he? Instead of having the faith of knowing he's rising. I'm sure Jesus must have visited his mother before he visited all of them. Say, okay, Mom, I got to go confirm these guys in the faith now because nobody else believes it. Right? Now, I'm not the first to say this. This is San Alfonso Liguori, San Ignatius of Loyola, and many saints throughout the church have talked about this, probably encounter of Jesus with Mary. But it was an encounter of love. All the other ones have to be encounters of faith in which they're confirmed. He has to show them and let them see so that they can believe that what he had done, he has done for us. And yet their faith was startled. And how often is ours? We believe, you believe, you're here today because you believe that Jesus is the risen Lord, that he died to save you from sin, that he wants you to repent and come back to him and live a life of grace. I hope that's why you're here. That's what we all believe here. And yet, oftentimes, we're afraid to profess it before the world. We live in a world that has got so many ideologies that are perverted about sexuality. It's no longer about the sacredness of life and love in the image of God. It's about the pleasure that it gives me whoever, however, and wherever I want, whatever way I want, for selfish reasons, instead of authentically respecting the gift of it, what it is in itself. Or life. What has our society done with the reality of life? And we sit back sometimes and say, just respect everybody's opinion. It's all okay. Oh, if that's what you feel and think. Good God have mercy. Indifference is the opposite of love. If your son or daughter is about to walk off a cliff, are you going to say, it's okay, that's the way they want to go? No, that's indifference. Indifference is not love. A kid reaches out to a hot stove, a good mom or dad slaps their hand away before they get to it so that they don't get burnt, because the truth will set them free. No. To love is oftentimes to make one cry because they need to see. We need to see the truth. But sometimes our faith is shaken because the world pressures us or doesn't want us to say. I mean, how can we accept the evil of abortion in our society, even at the earliest stage, let alone what they want to do here in Arizona now, of pass a law this next November, if they can get it through, to kill babies up to the 9th month? I dare or challenge any scientist, one only, at least in the world, or any one of you, to prove to me that your own life, your own existence, did not begin in the moment that your daddy's sperm met your mommy's egg. If you can prove that to me, I'll leave the priesthood and go live a life of debauchery. Because the reality is you can't. Every human being on this planet, even the ones that they're doing in vitro now, which are lives that should be respected, what they don't tell people is that in order to get one well implanted, they have to kill another 7 or 8. No, they don't tell you the moral implications of these things. And it's okay. Let's just do all this stuff. No. Every human being on this planet, your existence, trace it back to its beginning, its origin, its first moment. It's when that sperm met that egg and your DNA was formed and everything you were going to be was potentially there already. And you started to develop. Without that moment, you are not here. If you can prove otherwise to me, if any scientist can prove otherwise to me, science is always so good. It is beautiful when it seeks the truth. But when the truth doesn't go with what they want it to be, they just discard it anyway. Oh, you can kill a baby at any time. An infant, the beginning of human life. I'm sorry, but contraception does the same thing to the baby that an abortion at 9 months does. And yet, in front of these lies, we cower to the world and its ways. Gender ideologies. No? All these, I'm this or that or the other thing. Confusion that has invaded our world today. And we sit there indifferently and just say, it's okay. If that's what you feel. Oh, I'm sorry. That repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations. We're no better than anybody else. We are sinners just like everybody else. And the message of repentance needs to be preached to me first, and to you, and to the Pope, and to all humanity. The only title we should give each other is not all the titles they want to put on people out there today of all these letters that you hear. No, the title that we all have, you are a son or daughter of God. That's who you are. And he loves you so much that he died on the cross to save you from sin. He rose from the dead to give you new life. He wants you to celebrate joyfully this gift of his, this Easter joy. But in order to do so, you need to repent of your sin in order to be forgiven and come back to him. And that goes for you, for me, and for everybody else out there. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save us. And he wants us to turn away from our sinfulness. And I'm a worse sinner than any of you. And all of you should think the same about yourself. We're not out there to point fingers and condemn others, but to share the life of Christ, to share the message of his salvation. The truth will set us all free. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. He came to reveal to us why we're here and where we're going. And if we accept and believe in him, then we need to keep his commandments. We need to live in accordance to his will. We need to seek to walk in the truth. And when we fall and we falter, and we do, I know I do, we need to say, God, forgive me. Have mercy on me. Forgive me my sins and bring me to everlasting life. Hey, we shouldn't cower, be startled, let the world shut us up when we're out there with all these destroying life, destroying sexuality, destroying humanity with these ideologies that are so perverse and so eradicated from the truth. And yet, I'm okay. Let them do whatever they want. No. The last words of the scriptures today were to you. Did Jesus do this for you? Yes. Did he do it for me? You know, the Pope says something that people don't understand, or they get it wrong, and then the media takes it out of context and blows it out of proportion, and then everybody says, the Pope said that you can do this and that, and they get scandalized, and they get startled and terrified and lose their faith and start to question. Or some priest does something stupid and, you know, creates a scandal, and oh, I leave the church because of that bad example. If I do something stupid or create a scandal, don't leave Jesus for me. Good God, have mercy. Why do we allow our faith to be weakened or startled or terrified or shaken by the sins of the world, by the weaknesses of humanity, by the things that Jesus came to conquer this? And he did it for you, and he did it for me. And so to be Easter people means to say, hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this gift. Help me to repent of my sins. Forgive me my weaknesses. And help me to share your love with my neighbor. Help me to share this message. You are witnesses of these things. The gospel of the Lord. And you all said, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We all did. We are witnesses of these things. And if the world wants to laugh at us, ridicule us, hate us, they talk about tolerance, but they're tolerant of everything evil and not the truth? Well, no. And if it means giving my life to speak the truth out of love for the good of humanity, well, then I can't just sit there with my arms crossed and say, let the world go to pot. Let them all go to, You are witnesses of these things. Let your Easter joy be seen in your home, with your spouse, with your kids, with your family, extended, with your neighbors, with your community. We are called to share the love of Christ and the joy of Easter in a world that is dying because of this desire to forget that and live my own licentious perversions and sinfulness however I want without God. And as we watch them walk over the cliff, oh, have a good trip. Yeah, we laugh, but take a look around. Am I a witness to the love of God to those around me? Do they find joy in the resurrection, repenting of those sins, no matter what they might be, in all these different areas I mentioned, and coming back to him? Because that's why we're here. And hopefully one day, together, all of us, and all of humanity, all of the sons and daughters of God, which are the only title we have, can rejoice with him forever in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.